Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, today and every day, brought to you by BetQL. Beat smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. In case you're curious, I'm wearing a Fast and the Furious t-shirt. The Fate of the Furious. I believe this was the eighth one that hit theaters. Pretty excited about. No, that was Fate of the Furious.
Does that seems to indicate finality. Meaning, like, you'll finally see what their fate is. Like, this is the end. But
well,
it's not, right?
It's not final.
It's not. No.
They're still coming. Mm-hmm. With khaki shorts, what are you working with today?
Athletic short pants and an Under Armour type
shirt.
You
going to the gym after this?
You know, I was supposed to do stuff earlier today, but then this doctor's appointment ran so long, and it was exhausting. And then
Agassi get a little tennis in today?
No, I did Tuesday. Then we had our call, and then I ate lunch, and I came here. So it's not a great story by me.
So that was a lot of fun.
And then later I'll go home.
But what happened after all that? I thought about at the end of that just dropping a riveting, but that would throw you back with some PTSD.
Yeah, all of a sudden I start shaking. like a legitimately good segment or like something fun or enjoyable. Riveting. All right. Cool. Let's do what you want to do.
I'm like, this is riveting.
Yeah, because I self-acknowledge here. That wasn't particularly good.
Right. You got us out of it with your own comment.
Right. I could do that myself. I'm aware.
That would be like a nightmare.
Riveting. Oh, thank you. Okay, you go now. I'll wait on you.
How many people get it? How many people in their cars know what you're talking about?
Two. Maybe.
I'll take the under.
If my wife's listening, three.
Yeah. Beltway Blitz. Teams in town you care the most about. Let's get right to it. Start on the ice. Steve Wino of the Associated Press. Capitals did not have Alex Ovechkin last night. They did not have John Carlson last night. Yet they still forced overtime thanks to Tom Wilson. 14 seconds left in the game scoring a goal to get a point against the Penguins. So, Wino, how should they feel? It was a loss, but undermanned, they did go to OT.
They should feel great because that's a team now that once you get John Carlson and Alex Ovechkin healthy and Justin Schultz is back, it's gravy at this point. I mean, I don't know how the seeding's going to work out in the East 1-4. It could juggle around a lot between now and the end of the season. But anytime you can pick up a point like that, clinch a playoff spot, and do as well as they have really all season when Alex Ovechkin's been out, it's a good sign knowing that he will be back at some point.
So I know I'm terrified of Pittsburgh for two reasons. One, the PTSD from my entire life of no matter how much better the Capitals were than them, of Pittsburgh winning in the playoffs. But also, you know, kind of this year, I think Pittsburgh's really good. They're really fast. And everybody told me I'm not supposed to worry about Washington not being that fast. I'm worried about it. This is my playoff thing. I'm worried about Pittsburgh's speed and quickness and agility on the ice and how quick they can strike and how challenging they can be to deal with. Your thoughts?
Danny, I'm going to prescribe you watching Game 6 of the Penguins Capitals Series from 2018 first, just to cure that PTSD. But look, that's a legitimate concern, and it is going to be, if there's a Penguins Capitals Series, a battle of who gets to that kind of game faster, and the Capitals want to play a slow, more prodding, they're an older team and a heavier team, and want to play that style. I thought the Penguins had gotten old. I did. I didn't think the Penguins are going to be that good this year. But I thought they'd made a mistake trading Matt Murray and handing the net over to Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith. But I was wrong about, like I am about a lot of things. And it's a legitimate concern if the Penguins just, if they turn it into a track meet. If this is up and down the ice, trading chances, and the Penguins can use their speed, yeah, it's going to be a tough series for the Capitals, especially because this is not a team that wants to be trading chances with two goaltenders who haven't been in the playoffs before.
Caps and Penguins, same number of points now, 69 after last night. They have played one fewer game than Pittsburgh on the season, so that game in hand could loom large. They are at it again tomorrow at Capital One Arena. Swino, should they care a whole lot about winning the division and why? And then which of the Pittsburgh, Islanders, Boston teams that are going to make the playoffs would you most want to play?
I think this team would most rather play the Boston Bruins, and as fun as it would be for all of us with the Brandon Carlo situation, Tom Wilson and Brad Marchand and Lars Eller, there's a whole lot of bad blood there. I think it's the best matchup for the Capitals. From a purely aesthetic point of view, a Capitals Islanders series is not something anyone should want on Earth. They play terrible, awful, boring hockey games against each other. And maybe the Capitals can beat the Islanders, who have trouble scoring and don't have that kind of offensive firepower. But you could argue that the Bruins are the first choice, the Islanders are the second choice, the Penguins are the third choice, to the point where that's where I think the Capitals should want to win the division. Because not that home ice has the same sort of importance when you don't have a full building and all that, but you're avoiding a half-full building in Pittsburgh or a half-full building at the Islander or a quarter-full building in Boston to play games at. And with a good coach like Peter Laviolette to be able to set matchups, I do think home ice advantage matters. I do think winning there and hoping that the team in fourth, whether it's Boston or one of these teams that slips, I think the Capitals' best bet going into the playoffs is facing the coldest possible opponent.
Danny, I don't know if you know this about Swino, but he's actually a big horse racing guy as well. Swino Horses was a thing for a while.
Oh.
He wears like top hats and he bets on horse racing and stuff. Do you have a pick in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow for me?
I think Essential Quality is going to win the race, but I'm going to give you a long shot. Brooklyn Strong was the 20th horse in the field. Basically hasn't won anything since December. Had a great race in December, got in the field when three or four horses dropped out. The horse is going to be 60-70-1. Throw into exactos or trifectas. If this horse wins the race, I am going to be very rich.
Brooklyn Strong, me and you both. And you convinced me. I'm in.
Glad to hear it. We can party it up if Brooklyn Strong wins this race tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to be texting you like crazy right about right around first pitch, whatever they call it when they're in the gates. Thank you, Swino.
Swino, to see you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Talk a little baseball, please. NBCSW's Matt Weirich joins us to do that very thing. Yadier Hernandez hitting third. Just like we all drew it up, let's get weird, Matt.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird look. No Juan Soto, they got to get creative. They got Yadier 3 and Sterling Castro 4. So if you told a lot of Nationals fans that was what the lineup would look like by the end of April, they'd be pretty worried.
So this is not really a question you can answer, but I'm going to air one of my grievances in general with baseball, and you kind of help me out. They had a day off yesterday. Why don't they just go with all of their best players today? Like, what are we doing with the let's give Ryan Zimmerman a day? You just had a day off. This happens a lot. Like, this B lineup, like it's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and it's you've got three games in a row in hand, and you've already taken 3 out of 4 in the series.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's definitely, you'd love to see Ryan Zimmerman there with the way he's swinging the bat, but the Nationals are continuing to trot out Josh Bell as that starting first baseman on an everyday basis. Zimmerman seems pretty happy with having that reduced role, not playing every day, but, you know, with Bell struggles, sooner or later, they got to find a way to get Zimmerman in more often.
John Lester debuts tonight for the Nats, long awaited. The rotation, there are two best pitchers outside of one couple blips for each of them have been Joe Ross and Eric Fetty overall. I don't know, man. Strasburg is on his way back. He's throwing on flat grounds, I guess. Patrick Corbin has a okay start in there. I mean, this is not great right now, Bob.
No, they need Lester to come in and be the guy that he's been the past couple of years, and that's stable. You know, even when he's had some of his struggles, he's been able to go out there and give his team 5 or 6 quality innings. And right now, the Nationals are just generally looking to length from their starters to give their bullpen a bit of a rest. After having to use them so much early on, and they've seen injuries as a result of that, like Wander Suero and Luis Avila going on the injured list. So they're not expecting a whole lot for him in this first start, only throwing about 90 miles an hour at the alternate site. So he's still working his way up, but they're hoping that at least moving forward, he'll be able to give them some quality innings.
I do like what the bullpen's done this year quietly, Matt. They haven't necessarily had to protect one-run leads a whole lot in high-leverage spots, but if you look at the numbers over the last couple of weeks, without their full allotment of arms, they've been fantastic.
Yeah, Grant, I've been super impressed with the way these guys have been with Brad Hand. He's had declining velocity the last couple of years, but that's proved to be no problem for him. He's looked fantastic in the ninth inning. And how about Daniel Hudson? Last year, he really tinkered with his approach, went for more strikeouts, and gave up a lot more walks, a lot more hits, and kind of had some mixed results. But now the strikeouts are still there, and he's producing as well as he ever has in his career. Really looks like a legitimate back-end pitcher there. So when they get to full strength, get Wander Suero and Will Harris back, that's going to be a huge strength for this ball club.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir. You guys take care.
You too, buddy. We'll see you. Let's talk a little Washington football team, please. All right, guys. Scott Abraham, ABC7, knows himself a thing or three. Scott Trix, give me your thoughts on, first of all, their first-round pick, and what do you think they do tonight?
Gentlemen, so big night tonight. Obviously, Jamin Davis was a popular pick, high-energy guy, high character, has a motor, can run all over the football field, make plays, and I think he's a great fit for the system Rivera and Del Rio run here. That defensive line is going to open up some holes and plays for him to kind of play downhill, so I love the pick. Linebacker address. So now the question mark is, they got to get a left tackle, maybe a safety. So I'm looking at those two positions, left tackle, safety, maybe here in night two. I really love that kid from TCU, Trayvon Merrig. He had a first-round grade, safety out of TCU. Will they maybe trade up a little bit to go up in the second round to get him before he goes off the board? Something to watch early on in night two.
What about a quarterback tonight in the second or third round?
Yeah, guys, all along I've been kind of team no QB here. I just don't see it because they got Fitzpatrick, they got Allen, and they have, of course, they have Taylor Heineke. And I asked Ron Rivera pretty bluntly yesterday after it was all said and done, why didn't you trade up? Why didn't you think about it? And he basically said, Scott, this isn't just about one piece. We have a chance to put pieces into place. And they're being patient, and I don't think they're going to go reach. You got, what, Stanford's Davis Mills, Florida's Kyle Trask available. I don't know, guys. I'm not there. I think they kind of look at other positions of need in terms of left tackle, safety, quarterback. I just don't see it in this year's draft.
So I understand very well not wanting to pay the piper and trade all the way up to three or four, like, you know, San Francisco did, or four or five, top five, top six. But when a couple guys slide out of that top 10 group, where Fields went, where Mac Jones ended up going, to me it was irresponsible not to pay a little bit and have this position solved for the first, you know, for an extended period of time, for the first time since Joe Theismann broke his leg. I can't get over that part. Why do you think they weren't in at all?
I totally get that, and I think there's a comfortability element there with what they have already on the roster, guys. Fitzpatrick, yeah, maybe he's a year, 2 year rental. But I think they have a lot of optimism with Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke, and they're young guys, and they're in place here. So those two gentlemen that were available, Fields and the Alabama quarterback, unproven right now at the NFL level. So I think that's why they're staying put.
Scott, we'll be watching. Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated.
Thank you, guys.
That is your Beltway Blitz, the teams in town you care the most about. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Watching the draft coverage last night, this is my old man take for the day, and I'll only give you one, and otherwise I'll hide as many of them as possible so nobody thinks I'm 90. There was like a red carpet thing that happened, which luckily it wasn't televised or I didn't watch it, one or the other.
Uh-huh.
When I turned on my TV, that was long over. But there are a lot of videos circulating where players are walking a red carpet, and people, and I'm being serious, like reporters or sports personalities that you've heard of, that I've heard of, that we've been watching on TV for years, are shouting, like, let me see your shoes.
Nope.
Guy, I'm telling you. And they're like, nice drip. Like, what are you wearing?
Adam Devine, a gif of hard pass, please. No, thank you. Take me away.
I don't need that. Here's other things I don't need from the draft. I'm going to make a list for you. I don't need a live performance on national TV. If they want to have a band on site, Pittsburgh, Philly, D.C., whatever, at the draft, for the people that are there, you should do that. I've been to drafts. I used to go to the draft in New York City at Radio City Music Hall.
Because there's a lot of downtime that people don't, when you're watching, yeah.
It can be a tough event live. Now, mm-hmm. I happen to be a huge NFL market as a kid, and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But me and my mom were there. I watched it. I was there the year they drafted Sean Taylor, as a matter of fact. Love it. But if you want to do a live event, live band, cool. I don't need to see that on TV. Please allow me to keep watching Daniel Jeremiah or Mel Kiper just talk about football. I don't need Roger Goodell's chair. I was over that shtick the second it began. When I saw the chair on the stage, my first thought was, why is there a chair on the stage that looks like someone's recliner? And then they're like, that's the Roger Goodell chair from last year. And Danny Ruye, to quote you, my first thought was, take me away.
Take me away from this.
Because I know Roger Goodell's hilarious. You know a lot of things about him. One of them, he's very funny.
Goodelltron 5000, make joke.
I thought...
All good.
I'll bet you all the jokes he does with this chair tonight are going to be humorous. Stop with that. Then every fan came out and sat in the chair. Then Trey Wingo, he's not doing it anymore. Mike Greenberg loved it, by the way. He's like, for this pick, Goodell's going to sit in his old chair. Shh. Don't buy in on this. Whatever you're doing, you need to stop doing. So that was no fun for me. And then there was one other thing that I thought, why are we doing this last night? I'll get to that in a second. You got anything on the chair?
Yeah, no, I too was satiated on the chair the instant I saw it. I don't know how to describe this the right way.
I got it.
Oh, please go ahead.
Sorry, yeah. If you got something.
No, take it. Take it. Finish yours.
We don't have to try to make guys cry after they get drafted. We don't. The interview where you go, you tell someone their history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like that form of questioning. So, like, just as an example. This is not true, by the way. Luckily, I love both my parents, and they're, like, alive. They're my heroes. But, like, Grant, your dad hated you and was in jail when you were 3, and your mom has, you know, like, never seen you before but went to your game last year. What does tonight mean to you? What?
Yeah.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Not everyone has to, like, why are we trying to make this kid cry? Why does this moment have to be emotional? How about you're a Jet? What do you think about being a Jet?
You witnessed your dog get hit by a car as it was crossing the street. Both your parents are no longer with us. You were raised by someone that's now dead too. What does tonight mean?
What would those three people be thinking right now?
Do you think anyone's proud of you, buddy? Like, oh my God, why?
Why do we have to do this?
The thing that I was good on instantaneously, and again, here's my old man take. Thank your lucky stars that we're sitting through all of this. Please hurry up. The pick is in. Then go to the pick.
Oh, see,
the amount of time from the pick is into the actual pick, astoundingly long.
So you're mad at the teams that take all their time?
No. It says the pick is in on the little thing, right? It means pick has been made. Minutes go by until Goodell-tron saunters out there. Oh, thank you guys. Good job with the band. Good job with my easy chair, lady that shouldn't be there either. The pick is in. Sprint your little ass to the podium with your bespoke suit and say, with the 13th pick, the 14th pick, hurry up. Teams are making huge, profound decisions for their franchises.
Yeah.
Fielding the phone calls, whatever. Once that pick is in, you hire the fastest SOB available. And if he gets tired, you get someone else in. Like the little ball boys at the U.S. Open. You get that pick to the goddamned podium. The pick is in, tell me the pick. The waiting between the pick being made and the actual pick was longer than the 10 minutes the Browns had on the damn clock. Offensive to me.
There has been a commercial break before the Washington pick 10 straight years. Like, they're on the clock. Let's go to break. It's a 10-year streak.
There's never any hype behind it. It's like, we come back from break. Well, I think the next team after Washington's going to have an interesting thing to do. What about mine? The pick is in, make the pick. The pick is in, make the pick. The pick is in, make the pick. Instantaneous. If I'm producing that thing, we cut off 40 minutes out of that
Here's
SOB.
Here's the big question about that stupid chair. Do you think, like, someone had to go into his house, into his basement, and, like, a team of people had to carry the chair
four
out,
movers.
Put it on a truck.
They called our boy John Neal, Metropolitan Moving and Storage. He hauled it.
Metropolitan Moving and Storage shipped the thing to Cleveland, right? Does it go back to his basement now, do you think?
Yeah. It's back to his residence.
No, here's what's going to happen, because they're so unfunny. I promise you it'll be at the Hall of Fame. I promise you. How much do you want to bet?
That's absolutely ludicrous.
No, thank you, Coach, I'm telling you. Danny, what do you want to bet me? Make a bet right now. Make a bet. That chair will be at the Hall of Fame on display. What do you want to bet?
Nothing, because you might be right. They're so proud of themselves.
They
for the
thought
easy chair.
Last night was so fun. It's his chair, guys. Remember the chair from last year, guys? It's his chair. He sat in it. The pandemic. Ugh. All right. Tonight, they got 3 picks. First one at 51, then 74 at 82. 3 picks. Washington football team, number one priority. What do you want to accomplish? That's the question. We'll answer it next. We want your answers as well. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
Is this Jamin Davis?
Yes, sir, it is.
This is Coach Rivera calling. How you doing?
I'm good, Coach. How you doing?
You're going to be a linebacker for the Washington football team, all right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm fired up for you, young man. I really am. Yes, sir, Coach. Hey, we had a healthy conversation. You're going to fit exactly where we need you to be, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, you tell your parents. I want to hear your parents yell and scream now. Tell them. Come on.
We're going to Washington.
Love that. Great moment.
So good.
Jamin Davis, who was on the show a little earlier. If you missed it, you can rewind with the Odyssey app. He was outstanding. Podcast it when we're done at thefandc.com. The voice of Ron Rivera, head coach running the whole show for Washington, making the phone call. That also is a nice indicator, I think, in sometimes. Like, whose operation is this? A lot of these videos circulating, it's Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, who's on the phone, and I'm going to hand the phone to the coach.
To the owner.
Absolutely.
And yeah, other stuff, right?
Ron Rivera is the man working the phones here in Washington, D.C. That was his guy. That was Jack Del Rio, linebacker, as a defensive coordinator now's guy. They got their man in Jamin Davis. I just saw that Devontae Smith, who was drafted by the Eagles last night, tweeted out, where's the best place to get a cheesesteak in Philly? And I told you, that is the best way, I think.
It's red meat, no pun.
To indoctrinate yourself to a fan base. It's just a easy way to put yourself over. Like, if you hired a marketing person to help provide insight as to how to make people love you in your new city, they'd say, okay, first thing we're going to do, basically just do everything Bryce Harper did, because within a day he acted like you know, he was Mr. Philly.
Longtime Philly guy.
Remember him? He's like, he's coming up to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's like, yeah, my favorite movie ever is Rocky. My favorite actor is Will Smith. You remember all that?
My favorite band is
The
Boys Two Men.
Right.
Because they are from Philadelphia. Right. Just like me.
But Devontae Bryce Smith.
Yeah.
Smart guy. He said, where can I get my first cheesesteak?
Perfect.
But I'm wondering, what's the DC version of that? So if Jamin Davis hired someone and he says, okay, my first tweet, I got drafted to the Washington football team 22 minutes ago. I need all of the fans to be frothing at the mouth and just fall in love with me. Like, what's the thing about DC that I'm going to say?
Ooh.
I think food-wise, it would have to be, where can I get mumbo sauce?
Yeah, it's mumbo sauce, jumbo slice. And if he was also like,
what's jumbo slice?
Jumbo slice, pizza. That's a famous thing. Yeah.
So, I don't know anything about that.
I mean, it's what it is a huge slice of pizza. That's pretty much it. You could also go, if you really wanted to ingratiate yourself, you go, and what's the best go-go band? Like, you just keep adding DC stuff, you know?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Actually.
Where could I listen to go-go while eating mumbo sauce? Said Jamin Davis.
It's like, I don't know if you guys knew this about me, but I got a Chuck Brown channel on Spotify or something, you know, like that. And everyone's like,
exactly.
Oh my goodness, welcome to DC. So they take Jamin Davis at pick number 19. They have three picks tonight. What do you want to see them do? Let's start with that, Danny. On the board at 51, 74, and they'll be back on the clock at 82. Number one priority you coming at it tonight is what?
I need a tackle. I need one. I didn't know how badly I need one until Davis went last night. And I went, they don't have a tackle. Uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like, I was fine with a couple different guys.
But you
and
know
I think
my
was
constant rebuttal to this. Cornelius Lucas played well.
I think they masked things. I think they were limited. I think they put him in a place to be as good as Cornelius Lucas can be. I don't think that's a long-term answer. I want a long-term answer. I mean, I'm obviously most desperate for a long-term answer, quarterback. But to me, I hope they come out of this with somebody that we get to put at left tackle. And they were smart because a guy that, you know, that we thought may have been there at the end of the first round ends up there, whether it's Liam Eichenberg or, you know, or I don't know, the North Dakota State Dylan Redun's kid, whatever it is. They find somebody that can be a long-term answer at left tackle. That's what I would love to have somehow.
I love that answer because I want them to get a left tackle tonight as well. We had Logan Paulson on, who's watched a bunch of the draft film, analyzed a bunch of players for us, and he says, you can find, not many, but these are one or two guys he thinks that'll go in the third or fourth round that this year could end up playing tackle for them. So I actually kind of like that answer. I want them to add a weapon on offense tonight. I'm going to say tight end, but if it's a wide receiver, I'm okay with that too. And people may feel that's redundant, and they might think I'm being foolish because they spent on Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin's coming up with a contract. But I think that there is an immense value in this class from all the people that I talk to around football in the wide receiver department in rounds 2 and 3. Tonight is rounds 2 and 3. Don't neglect wide receivers when there might be guys on the board who could be great just because you don't think you need a wide receiver. Now, hear me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that a third-round wide receiver taken tonight is going to be DK Metcalf, but imagine if DK Metcalf's on the board and you really like him, and you said, well, we've got McLaurin, and we've got Curtis Samuel, and we just signed Adam Humphrey to a one-year deal, so we don't need DK Metcalf. To me, that's bad logic. That's a bad way to do it. If you've got a weapon you love on offense, ideally a tight end that you think's a really good fit, please take that player, because they have not played since their offense was one of the worst in the leagues. And they have been better. They've improved. They've
sure,
got better
personnel. Sure, they added some pieces, yeah.
But the last time they played, this was still one of the three worst offenses almost across the board in football.
So your axiom about you can never have too many pass rushers, I think mine is you can never have too many weapons. In this era of offense, you saw what happened. The first 7 picks were all offensive players, and a couple guys go 8 and 9. And then it's another run of offensive players. The best offenses in this league are the teams that are playing for meaningful things. They're winning divisions. They're going to conference title games. They're playing for Super Bowls. It's who's playing the best offense at the end of the season. Really, who's throwing the ball the best? Offense.
You get to address one priority tonight and only one. What do you hope it is? They've got 3 picks. 800-636-1067. Also, there's a big Aaron Rodgers update. Can you fire off the Jeopardy theme for me, Darius? I had Darius get the Jeopardy theme ready for us. Because Aaron Rodgers, news is abound.
Oh.
So here's where we're at. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, his agent, whoever, leaked that he told the Packers he's not playing for the Packers again.
Okay.
Green Bay came back after last night's first round and said, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
There's another report now with a rebuttal of how Aaron Rodgers is feeling. And these is fighting words. Them's fighting words.
Whoa.
I'm going to tell you what Rodgers said next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
He was one of the top tacklers in the NCAA last year. Pro Football Focus had him ranked high as the highest linebacker. He was ranked the 14th top prospect by Mel Kiper. It goes on and on. I mean, we weren't the only ones that saw that. The athleticism I talk about is the athleticism I saw on tape, which led to tackles. Martin told you he had over 10 tackles in 10 games this year on the average, averaging 10 tackles a game. That's over 100. So he's a very productive football player to go with that athleticism.
Ron Rivera shouting out Mel Kiper's rankings in Pro Football Focus.
Very different.
And his breakdown of Jamin Davis.
Very different than what we've seen in the past.
I had not heard that cut, and that stopped me in my tracks. I love it. I mean, it's cool. Like, he's one of us. Like, Ron Rivera is like listening to Kuiper's podcast, and he's logging into his Pro Football Focus with a password like I have, paying $35 a month to get college grades. It's kind of hilarious. But yeah, they're happy. They got Jamin Davis. If you missed our interview with him, thefandc.com or rewind with Odyssey. Best players, in my opinion, that fell out of round one. So these are guys that I had going in the mock drafts I did. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah still available, start of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
No longer probably a fit because he just drafted Jamin Davis. Trayvon Morig, the safety from TCU, they liked him a lot, was in play potentially at 19. He is still there in round two. I love the Florida State corner, Asante Samuel Jr. He's not as long and does not have some of the measurables from a body standpoint. That length at cornerback has become almost a necessity.
That's the thing now,
in the eyes of evaluators. But I just think the bloodlines and the football that he's played speak to the fact that he'll be a good pro. I really, really like Tevin Jenkins as an offensive tackle option. He will be long gone by the time they pick.
Agreed.
I think he could be the first or second players. Like, someone could trade up and take him to start the night, as far as I'm concerned, tonight. But Tevin Jenkins is the best tackle on the board. He'll just not be there. big, big fan of Elijah Moore, the wide receiver from Mississippi. Terrace Marshall, another wide receiver. And then we had Baldy on, and we asked him who his kind of favorite sleeper is in this draft, and he said Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama. So those are some of the names that fell out of the first round. There are others that will be of interest at the top of the board tonight. They got three picks. What do you guys think could go down this evening? Let's go to PJ and Reston on the Fan. Hey, PJ.
Hey, guys. Hope you're having a beautiful Friday. Thanks for having me on.
Got it, buddy.
And real quick thing about the food thing, you know, I think maybe like a local spot, Ben's Chili Bowl, maybe would be good. Or maybe, for the new
The Devontae Smith shout out
like
to get
see
fans.
You at Ben's Chili Bowl. Yeah, you're right. It's a good one.
That's definitely what you should tweet after you get drafted here.
Roger that. I don't know if Five Guys is like national, but that's another one. I don't know if that's just like a Virginia thing or if that's like all up and down the East Coast or West Coast. I'm not sure.
It's a good question. Has Five Guys made the move?
It's everywhere, man.
Nationally
at
this point?
Oh, yeah.
Mark
Five
Mosley.
Guys is great.
Now, I don't want to be a blasphemer, but I like Elevation Burger a little bit better, but I do like Five Guys.
Well, that's outrageous.
Like Five Guys Burgers. Five Guys Burgers. But just real quick, a draft thing. I got a question for you guys. I want to pick your guys' brain. I don't know anything about the linebacker they got. How do you pronounce it? Is it Jamin or how do you say his name?
Jamin Davis. My guy, we've said it 100 times today. Where you been?
Sorry, I was super, super busy today.
You're living your life. I understand. I don't take it personally.
God bless you. Now, one thing I was shocked is that I don't know how to pronounce his name, but they're really, really awesome Notre Dame linebacker.
Owusu-Koramoah.
J-O-K. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Everyone just liked saying J-O-K. That was part of the reason, I think, why people wanted to be drafted.
But also, everyone's in love with this idea. I said this a billion times when Sua Cravens was drafted. People love the idea of Sua
Cravens. They
should.
The idea is
awesome. Well, it's not that awesome of an idea when a guard gets a clean shot and you're 30 pounds less than your contemporaries and you get knocked into the dirt.
It's a pretty good idea when Tyrann Mathieu's making plays all over the field.
When it works, when Dale Buchanan
Landon
makes
Collins
plays.
Is an all-pro.
When it works, it's great. When the guy quits on the team 34 hours after cuts, it's not that awesome.
Sua Cravens wasn't good, but that doesn't mean Owusu-Koramoah.
Well, there's plenty of guys that haven't worked at that spot, too. The idea is way sexier than the player sometimes, and it may be the case here. I don't know.
Rick, Fort Washington, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry about that. I'd like the first pick, but I definitely think tonight out of the three, I would hope we address at least the D-back position, and let's get some O-linemen, man. I don't trust Sheriff. Not saying I don't trust him personally, but just as the contract situation, we don't know how that's going to go. Let's show up the O-line for whoever's going to be our quarterback going forward, man, and at least get a D-back. That's what I think we should go
tonight. Honestly, appreciate it, buddy. It's a great call. I think if you hit on an O-lineman, you hit on a DB in these three picks, I'd be ecstatic.
There are going to be some corners in rounds two or three that could go.
I also love the clarification. He goes, I don't trust Sheriff. I don't mean I don't trust him personally.
Like if I left in a room with $5, right. The $5 would still be there.
I got Sheriff.
Yeah.
He's like, one time I was at a gas station.
I get it.
And I dropped a $5 bill and I saw him put it in his pocket. Let's go to Robert in Fairfax. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Got it, buddy.
You know, the offense really needs to be put into a better position. I think they need to go after the Ole Miss wide receiver this second round.
Elijah Moore.
And then worry about getting a D-back in the third round because offense just needs to have more pizzazz. They have the wild factor with Terry McLaurin, but they need to add some more weapons because you look at the Steelers or the Cardinals, you got lots of weapons on the team. But you got to if they're going to be best offense in the league, then they got to add more weapons to the team.
It's what teams are doing, Robert, because of how easy it is to throw. Look at the Dolphins last night. The Dolphins brought in Will Fuller in free agency and basically slid him down to third on their depth chart after they took Jaylen Waddle. Devontae Parker, Jaylen Waddle, Will Fuller. They still have Preston Williams and Mike Gesicki. I mean, how many pass catchers do you need? They're giving Tua everything you can. And in this case, you don't have a young quarterback to hand all these guys over to help out, but it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, a gunslinger. So I will not have an issue at all if they take a wide receiver in round two tonight. I'll be elated if it's more. I think he's going to be outstanding.
That could be long gone.
He should be gone 20 picks before they pick. He should be one of the first five names called tonight,
agreed.
I would imagine. 5 at 5 at the top of the hour will include Kyle Shanahan, laughing at everybody, telling people, guess what? We always like Trey Lance, you silly geese. And we can also get into the Packers saying that they are not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. But I told you there was a development on Rodgers. Here is what Rodgers said, okay? This is from Rap Sheet of Network. Aaron Rodgers is strongly considering retirement unless the situation with the Packers is repaired to his liking.
This is the bluff right here. So here it is.
This, to me, is like when you're in a fight and you're at odds with a spouse, you're not allowed to throw the D word out there. You can't. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't say divorce. You just can't. It doesn't matter what else you say. If you make fun of, your wife's like, Danny, you're so dumpy. I'm so tired of your man body or whatever. I don't know what she would say. What would she say? You tell me.
No, let's go with what you have. I don't want it to get too real. I started to have a moment where I'm going, like, she could say a lot. I don't think she should. I don't want to.
Okay. So we'll stick with mine, right?
Yeah. No. Let's do yours.
Those were fine.
Whoa, man.
So, but the point is, You go back and forth, but you cannot say the D word. And in this case, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, all these quarterbacks, you talk about a trade, say I'm not showing up. Don't use the R word.
Yep.
He used the word.
He used it. This to me is just to use another family analogy. When you threaten to turn the car right around, are you really willing to do it? Like, you kids don't stop this, we'll turn the car around. That's what that is. That's the trump card. That's the biggest card you have in the deck if you're Aaron Rodgers. Because you realize if you're going to play football, they own your rights. You sign a contract, you're obligated. And you go, I'll turn the car right around. Do the Packers believe him?
Yeah.
Do they believe he's sincere about it?
He's got a Jeopardy gig waiting for him, potentially. I don't know if he'll actually get it. He's got more money than he'll ever need. I mean, the amount of money he's made is preposterous.
Yep.
He's got tons of records and a Super Bowl ring. When he says he's going to retire, it isn't like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson saying they're going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jim Brown or Barry Sanders style with so much football ahead of him.
Like, right.
He's almost 40. Okay, he might be serious about it.
He could.
This. 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.